Great. All right. Well, I am very excited about today. We have Sharon Liu and Carrie Lemoy coming to talk to us about the Plugfest. Many of you were involved in the Plugfest. I was involved in the Plugfest. In fact, it was for me, having been involved with the first one and the second one, I can't even begin to describe how much I learned through that process. In addition to really deepening my technology understanding, it also really helped me to see how this ecosystem is forming. And I think that the Plugfest concept and the way that we have been working through these is really driving the work forward. And so I'm really excited to have them here today to talk about what happened at this last Plugfest, but also I think maybe even more importantly, talk about what is coming and how we as a community might support these efforts as we look towards the next versions of these Plugfests. So let me just pull up the agenda to run through some of the housekeeping. This is, I think, one of the things that I loved about my participation in the Plugfest was the collaborative nature and spirit of the work that was being conducted. And so a quick reminder that we all follow the code of ethics and professional conduct. We definitely want anyone who is interested to participate in these calls. But definitely if you're giving any substantive contributions, you should be a member of the CCG with the full IPR agreements, and the links to those can be found in the agenda. We use meeting minutes and call an audio recording of the meetings. We will take speakers in a queue. So if you're interested in asking a question or making a comment, please use Q+ to add yourself to the queue. That's going to be my job today, is to kind of moderate that, that as I know we're going to have what I'm hoping is going to be a really great conversation today. And that brings us to introductions and reintroductions. Does anyone would like to introduce themselves to the community? Or is there anyone who's not had an opportunity to join us for a while that would like to let us know what they've been up to?
Hey, this is Alex Tweedo here. I haven't joined one of these for a while, and I'm just going to say, hey, myself, Anka, and my colleague Ross are on, because we heard there was a lot of debate in the last CCG call around the proposed work link item on DidLinked resources. So if there's time after the presentation today around that topic, we're also happy to answer any questions on that.
Great. I'm really glad you're here. Thanks, Alex. Would anyone else like to introduce themselves or reintroduce themselves?
Hi, I'll go next. This is Anka Banji. Also, I think I've not joined some of these for a while. I'm one of Alex's colleagues. There's a lot of really interesting discussions that we've obviously had with a lot of people on the spec for DidLinked resources. I think there's been a fair amount of back and forth and contributions from many people. We appreciate that. And so, yeah, very happy to chat that through if that's on the agenda, or obviously contribute in any else way that I can. I think I've seen a lot of the faces on here, perhaps in person as well, so that's good.
Definitely. Welcome. Anyone else? How about announcements and reminders? Anybody have anything they want to share? Kalia.
Hey there. We've got the APAC Digital Identity Unconference coming up, March 1 to 3. If you have, if you want to come from all over the world, we welcome you, but particularly if you have staff based in that region, this is a great opportunity to meet with other folks who are based in the region working on decentralized and digital identity generally. So we encourage you to come and like, similar to how we are do things at IAW, we're really committed to accessibility. So, if our pricing is a barrier, please reach out. We can work with you. And, I'll also name the Thoughtful Biometrics Workshop got moved to, mid-March. It's March 13 to 17, and folks who are working on digital identity and want to understand biometrics better, I'd invite you. And then regular IIW is April, um, 18 to 20th. And I'll put links for all of that in the chat. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Marty?
Yeah, so just two quick announcements. One, the WANATECH CLR 2.0 spec with the verifiable credential compatible was made public today. So I sent a link out to the mailing list, but I wanted to mention it here because it's a big deal. We've been working hard on this multi-assertion verifiable credential format. And then also, Ian Davidson with Smart Resume put out a smart report ecosystem map that is pretty cool and really insightful. So just those two notes. Thank you.
Great. And thank you, Simone. I was going to ask if you could put the link in, but Simone already did it. Thank you. I think, Manu, I think you were on the queue. Yep, you're up.
Yeah. Thanks. Three announcements. The first one is just closing the loop on VC status list 2021. So that was a work item that started in the credentials community group. It has now transitioned to the verifiable credentials working group as an official global standards track deliverable. There is a link in IRC, sorry, in the chat channel, that just kind of links to where it lives now. So there's just heads up to folks, that, were wondering about it or using it in their implementations. It is definitely headed standards track now. Expect it to be potentially done as a global standard in 18 months. Hopefully sooner than that. So we're probably going to be really looking for implementations. We have a test suite already. We've got some implementations, but we'll be looking for more in about 6 months. And then we'll want to really nail everything down in about a year, which sounds like it's far off in the distance, but it is definitely not. It'll come up on us pretty quickly. So that's VC status list. The next item is that there is a verifiable credentials working group face-to-face meeting that's happening in February, mid-February. I believe it's 3 days. It's in Miami in the United States. You typically need to be a working group member to attend those meetings, but it is the chair's discretion to allow observers and other people to attend those meetings. So if you're interested, you know, an email to the mailing list or an email to the chairs, you know, we'll get you started there. The third announcement is that we are gathering kind of signatures of support for the EDDSA crypto suite to move that into the Verifiable Credentials Working Group, just like we did for Status List 2021. There are 20-plus issuing platforms that participated in the PlugFest that did implement it. And so we'll be reaching out to those folks in JFF PlugFest 2, as well as other implementers in the ecosystem to put your name down as, you know, supportive of that crypto suite going standards track. So look out for that either this week or next week if you're an implementer. That's it.
Great. Thank you. Thank you all. Those are some exciting announcements. All right. Well, I want us to have as much time as we need for conversation around the kind of work that the PlugFest is pushing forward. So it's my pleasure to turn the stage over to Carrie and Sharon. I feel like, you know, they don't need an introduction because looking down the list of names, everybody, I think, is familiar with them. But I just do want to say that I think, you know, Carrie has been been thinking about credentials for a very long time. And I know for me has been just a source of education and knowledge. And I really appreciate what she does both for the VCEDU working group, but also the collaboration that she's done for us. And then also Sharon, is the executive, executive in residence at, Jobs for the Future. And I think is really a practical visionary leader for how these kinds of credentials are going to get used in the wild. And so I think together, along with all the other folks that I know are working behind the scenes to pull off these PlugFests, are really driving this work forward. And I'm so excited to hear from them. So the stage is all yours, ladies.
Thank you, Kimberly. Is it possible for me to share slides? I'm going to try, and we'll see. And we'll see what happens. I have to change my system settings. But while I do that, I guess one of the things that I wanted to say is, don't remember my system password. Okay, so thank you all for joining us. The goal here is for us to get to the discussion as quickly as possible. So we do have some slides that will give a general overview, which I think I'm not going to share my screen because I can't change my setting. Ah, the best. And to get to some of the discussion questions at the end. So do you mind going to the next slide? So by just way of a quick introduction, Jobs for the Future is sponsoring this series of PlugFests with support from the Walmart Foundation. And we are a not-for-profit organization that really wants to see economic advancement happen for all people. And if you go to the next slide, please. Our key way, one of the key questions that we have is how can credentials be sort of the link that enables this to happen? And I wanted to say this up front, not just, you know, for the shameless plug purposes for JFF, but to give you a sense for the series of PlugFests and how they're really just very use case driven. And so as we talk about the observations that we'll make and some of the questions that we have as we plan the next one, just keep in mind our context for this is how can we be driving this type of result? And if you go to the next slide, one of the ways that we think that we can do this in the education ecosystem is by creating what we call learning and employment records, which are a collection of credentials across a period of time and from a variety of different issuers that individuals can mix and match as they pursue opportunity. Also known in this community as a verifiable presentation, sort of hoping though that foundationally is based on a series of verifiable credentials that individuals can collect over time. So if you get to the next slide, you'll see our key objectives, not only for the second PlugFest, but the entire series of PlugFest is to really think about the development of a functional learning employment record for individuals and broadening participation in the verifiable credentials community by bringing in incumbent education and workforce solution providers who don't necessarily understand or participate in this and hence create a lot of very closed ecosystems for different types of education and workforce related records, but as well bring some of these solutions, some of you who have a lot of experience working with verifiable credentials and some of these interoperable data models to return feedback to some of the education standards development processes. So if you look at the next slide, it's just our general roadmap to where we were and where we're going. We started these off in June with very simple exercise. I think Marty called it our Hello World exercise, where the request was display a functioning verifiable credential in a digital wallet. We moved in November, and this is what we'll be talking about today, to issuing verifiable credentials into wallets. And coming this year, we'll want to talk about export and presentation. The details of it we can discuss later on in this presentation. Timeline is hopefully in this next month or so, I guess beginning with today's call, beginning to collect feedback on what are some of the key areas that we can be using as our technical demonstration, and bringing in the correct partners for work beginning in the first quarter. So I don't know, Carrie, do you want to take it over and start talking about some of our sort of technical requirements and some things that we did?
Hi, everyone. On slide 7, we talk about the approach that we took. And the requirement was for issuers to be able to issue to 2 wallets. And for if you're there are issuer issuing credentials, and if there are wallets, to be able to accept verifiable credentials from 2 different issuers. And the timing for this actually coincided through a lot of effort at OneID Tech and then the members of the working group with the candidate final release of Open Badges 3.0. So in a Plugfest 1, where we were sort of using a temporary version that we set up for the Plugfest, for the Plugfest 2, we're actually able to use Open Badges 3.0. And so we required a display of the fields you see on the slides, and that they verifiable according to the Open Badges schema, and that the issuers and wallets were able to demonstrate that to us through a demonstration, like a video requirement. I think that's does that cover it, Sharon? You think I'm missing anything there?
Nope, that's right. Would you go to the next slide, please?
Oh, yes, I will.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, sorry. One other thing I didn't mention this, Sharon, I'm sorry, is that we did this through, we required 3 different protocols. We did this through either VCAPI, also using CHAPI in some cases, DIDCOM, and OIDC. So issuers and wallets had to use one of those 3 protocols, which are the 3 protocols.
That's right. So I guess let's go to the next slide. The one thing I said that I will say is we did, in doing all of these, require that did authentication happen in some capacity or another. And so overall, we had quite a lot of interest. Here is sort of just the overlay of who participated and who selected and how many people selected which protocols. We were not prescriptive. We allowed individuals to self-select. And in fact, there were a number of people who selected who attempted multiple protocols, as well as participants in this community who jumped in without officially joining our cohort and letting us know, which we thought was really exciting. Carrie, do you want to review some of other people's slides that show some great results?
Sure. If we go to slide 11, And Manu's here, who actually, we took this slide from Manu's presentation. So Manu, feel free to jump in and fill in any gaps where I'm leaving out. But quite a few of our participants opted to use CHAPI with BCAPI, which we found to be excellent because it made it really easy for new issuers and new wallets to get on board. Many of them using the Playground that a Digital Promise set up at playground.chappy.io. And you'll see from the slide that there are 81 different combinations that were demonstrated, some which were, you know, hit the requirements of, you know, 2 issuers to 2 wallets, but then some who went well beyond that. You can see that several hit almost all of the wallets, right? Aranda, for instance, went through all of the wallets here. So we had some that they all did auth because that was required. So they did that over CHAPI. And then several implemented, their issuers, with CHAPI too, with the Playground and are still there, I believe. Manu, do you want to fill in, any sort of gaps there that I've left with?
No, that was great. I think one thing to note is we're probably going to, depending on what the goals are for the next Plugfest, we're probably going to provide the same kind of infrastructure, if possible. And so the hope is to kind of build on, the people that are already in there. One of the really neat things that has happened after the Plugfest is that all these issuers are still in the Chappie playground, meaning like you can still use them to do issuance. And we think that's a really good kind of side effect of the Plugfest, is that it got all these other issuing platforms kind of there on a more permanent basis, so that you can switch between different credentials. The hope is that, you know, we'll be able to do that across different industries. Like, you know, there are a lot of education-based issuers there right now, along with the other ones that have existed there from like the SVIP program. But, you know, as we add new types of credentials, like there's that movie ticket credential and maybe some other workforce skills credentials, all those other issuers should be able to continue to kind of issue, you know, using the playground. So it feels like it could potentially grow into a really good kind of broad community tool that can be used across market verticals. That's it.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you, Manu. One thing we did mention at the beginning was that we provided a model, a sort of example open badge that folks could use. And on the playground is that example badge that can be issued. So many of you could go and try that right now, actually. Next slide, please. Our next group was the OIDC group, which was our second largest group. And what we loved about this group was that they all worked together very closely in a similar way as the Chappie folks did, issuing to each other and figure out how to use OIDC with verifiable credentials and open badges, which definitely presented its own challenges and that they overcame and were able to demonstrate this too. Is there anybody here from the OIDC group that would like to speak to that? I would call on David Chadwick because he was one of our leaders in this group. I don't see him on here though. Okay. Sharon, do you have anything else to add about OIDC, the OIDC group, or Dimitri and Simone? I should also call on who are co-chairs at BCHU who are instrumental in helping all of this happen.
Just say that, especially with OIDC, I think it was really helpful to the development of the OIDC spec itself, because as always, when there's implementations and actual tests running, it highlights rough corners that need to be sanded off. So I think I also see Simone coming too. So yeah, just to say that it was very helpful to the spec. Go ahead, Simone.
Yeah, I think there is also a set of interesting positive externalities that have happened as a result of the Plugfest. One being the interesting collaboration across standard development organizations like W3C and One EdTech, or other players in the ecosystem, not specifically in the education domain, that leverage the tooling made available by the VC API team, and a few others that really we are encouraging in terms of moving forward with this process, and that really spoke to the function of this Plugfest as a bridge in building out this very diverse ecosystem that we're all working into. Back to you, Carrie.
Thank you, Simone. Exactly. The last group that we have is the DIDCOM group, which was the smallest of the groups. And I'm going to actually put a link, copy and paste that link to that presentation that is there on that page. You may find this really interesting to look at if you are interested in DIDCOM, because this was really one of the first times DIDCOM was being used in this way. So this group had a lot of hurdles, but I think they accomplished quite a bit and worked together to demonstrate what is needed, like what more is needed to issue verifiable credentials. And I think you might find this presentation really useful in learning more about what work could be done and what help this community needs to move this forward. And we were really grateful for that group's work.
Okay, so I know that there's probably some questions, but I kind of want to power through to like where we can have some sort of moderated discussion. And I'll kick that off by just giving some of the observations that I made as a result of this. And I'm sure that there are broader observations about, you know, technology and like standards development, for example, some of the ones that Simone mentioned, but these go back to our investment accomplish the JFF goals, right? And so some of these observations I think were interesting, but sort of lead us to questions for the next time. And one of the surprising I don't know why I thought this was surprising. Maybe I'm just too cynical about human nature, but you know, a lot of this broad technical interoperability was only possible because of human relationships. And I want to give a shout out, especially to this community. A lot of the education workforce incumbents really did benefit from the generosity of your time and your expertise. This is, using VCs is not something that is sort of native technical ability for a lot of these incumbents. And I think they learned a lot from you. And as a result of that, the education stakeholders, I think students and learners and workers really do and will benefit from this in the long run. And another, I think one of the observations about our accomplishments is that the standards development work really does require broad participation. I think it was a little bit challenging to work with, you know, the first of some verifiable credentials native education standards. And there are a number of challenges because different standards organizations have different sort of work processes and cultures and varying degrees of openness to feedback and issues. But it was an interesting collaboration, I think, between the group that worked on the one EdTech spec, their I think willingness to accept feedback from this community who has a lot of experience working with verifiable credentials. I think it really strengthened the OBV3 standard. And so I'm encouraged by I think some of the results that will happen as a result of that. I think that in sort of acknowledging some of the challenges, like one of the most obvious ones is based on how you saw the slides being laid out, that the interoperability really occurred within protocol-specific groups. And even, for example, within some of the groups, there was further divisions. You probably noticed that the OIDC group was divided based on proof methods. And, you know, there is a lot of discussion. I think that doesn't mean that we are permanently stuck into three different slides on a deck, but I think that there's definitely a challenge, something additional to think about. To what Carrie mentioned about the third group, our DIDCOM group, I think what we really showed was that one of the challenges is the development of community resources. And the more people that participate in these types of activities, the more resources like registries and playgrounds exist and can enable greater amounts of interoperability. I don't know, Carrie, I think you had some thoughts on that.
Yeah, actually, I just queued myself up, but I'll take myself out in a second. Specifically, going back to the community's help with Open Badges 3.0 and the work at One EdTech, Open Badges and Comprehensive Learning Record are new to verifiable credentials. Initially, they are linked data, but mostly they've been hosted data sets, never used in this way before. And it's introduced all sorts of things that were never considered before by the working groups. One of the challenges we encountered, for instance, was the context file changed while we were working, while people were trying to issue to the wallets. And it caused a host of problems, and it took a lot of work to track that down. And big thanks to, you know, the folks at a Digital Bazaar who helped to, like, track that down and spend hours and a lot of money really trying to figure that out. But in the long run, this became so useful to the community at large and to those who will be issuing these credentials. So, shout out to, like, open community development and working together in the open like that, really. Thank you.
Were there other comments or questions in the queue?
Is Simone an old hand? Maybe.
I think so.
Okay. Challenges. I think one of the challenges. This was a good, I mean, this is a good challenge, right? It's like, you know, what's your greatest weakness? We had a lot of people participate in the Plugfest, like way more than I think many of us were. Well, I'll say way more than I was expecting, which was great. But the challenge there was, communication. I think the channels that were set up by JFF, like the Slack channels for communication, were really good. But I think I noticed there was a lot of kind of one-on-one communication between, implementers, that happened, which was great. Like if you have, you know, it's great if you have only like, you know, like an organization or is only trying to communicate with like two or three or four organizations, but we had a huge N by N, you know, problem going on there. And I think what we realized, at least our organization, is that there were some pieces of critical documentation that were just not there. And as a result, we had, you know, program managers and engineers having to effectively repeat themselves over and over and over again on one-to-one calls. And so we don't quite know how to address that in Plugfest 3 other than maybe having better documentation ready earlier on. And then that, of course, would require kind of the requirements of exactly what are we trying to attempt in Plugfest 3 to be more clearly delineated early in the process. So I think that was, you know, there was a bit, I mean, communication, I think, was the largest challenge, right? I mean, the technical stuff was hard enough by itself, but, just keeping that many organizations kind of synced up and moving forward, it turned out to be a challenge. And as Carrie said, community tooling was vitally important. Basically, community tooling and community documentation was just vitally important, to kind of keeping everything together. That's it.
Artie?
Yeah, I just, I want to say, I really appreciated the openness of collaboration between all the participants. I've never really seen that level of openness. I think it goes to credit, you know, JFF and the collaboration with VC Edu, but nobody was playing I Got a Secret. Everybody was trying to get real integrations done, and that was just really amazing. Plugfest 3, even though a number of us are competitors in one way or another, that level of openness got a lot more done a lot faster than it would ever get done in a pure standards-based collaboration, in my opinion.
All right, thank you. Anyone else with questions? All right, Sharon.
Okay, so here's like the part where we would love your feedback, which is in the context of Plugfest 3, what should we do next? I'm actually, you know, I think to something you said, Manu, like significantly more people were interested in Plugfest 2 than I thought, you know, it would be interested in it. And so I'm actually curious, because I don't know whether the increased difficulty, I guess, of doing the next Plugfest will increase interest or decrease interest, or whether, you know, I just have no idea. So this is actually a wild card for us as far as planning is concerned as well. So essentially we have a set of draft objectives. And if you go to the next slide, you can see what some of them are. These are all for discussion purposes. We're not like tied to any of them except maybe the first one, which is like we've thought about, you know, issuing, holding credentials. And now I think the third step for us is thinking about that third leg of the data model, which is the verification. And it like needs to be for, in my mind, for us to be successful, more than just a bunch of people who can click the verify button, run it, and get the green check mark, because that's somewhat meaningless in the grand scheme of, like, why do verifiable credentials need to even exist, and why digital credentials, right? So part of these, you know, objectives as we're thinking about it is demonstrating that the credentials can be shared outside of a credential issue wallet storage environment, so that they have some kind of value in a marketplace external to the existence of the credential. And this is really important, especially in the education and workforce ecosystem, not only because of some of the things I mentioned earlier about how a lot of intuition is around tying the existence of sub-degree credentials and using skills-based hiring practices to engage talent as a means of promoting equity in the marketplace, but also thinking about how much of a cottage industry education tends to be on the creating and issuing credential side rather than on the using them as proper signals of talent side. And that leads to sort of the second thought that we have on this idea of verification, which is like that in order to demonstrate the utility of this kind of open ecosystem versus a system that is a little bit more closed, which is the default in our space, is through the use of live credentials in a production environment. And so I guess depending on what is the specific thing that we are going to demonstrate interoperability against, like which part of that sort of value chain, the verification chain, I think finding like a real credential that's currently being issued to real people and hoping to promote its utility somehow, I think is a really interesting way to not only show the technical potential of verifiable credentials, but also to demonstrate value for this ecosystem. So those are kind of the initial thoughts that we have. But if you sort of look at the next slide, some of the things that we would love to hear your feedback on in addition to the objectives is, you know, how then should we expand participation and how can we do this strategically? I think, you know, if we think about like 20 people participating in Plugfest 2 and 40 and 3, like do we try to go for the geometric and say like 80 people should participate? I mean, that seems like way out of control, right? But like more importantly is like who are the key stakeholders in that last part, the verifying part that we need to be engaging with? Or alternatively, how can we better align with goals of existing efforts to do similar things? And by similar things, I do mean like similar technical exercises, but also credential portability exercises as well. And then also as we think about that, like what should we be demonstrating? Specifically, like what's a reasonable ask that all of you on this phone call can do, together and with, you know, some community resources over, a 2 to 3 month period rather than fighting off such a big chunk that it would take ages and ages and ages to complete. So, you know, then of course, thinking about the community resources that JFF needs to invest in order to enable this to happen. So I think that there are people in the queue that have comments, and I would love to hear all the comments.
Yes, me too. Anil, I'm going to give the floor to you first.
Thank you, and Happy New Year, everyone. And obviously, a huge fan of the work that you guys are doing here, and we are absolutely leveraging what you are doing in the work that we're doing at SVIP for both trade and immigration credentials. Regarding the verification piece, I think the reality of our credential ecosystem is that these credentials are never used in isolation. They're used in combination with one of these things. And the end state of interoperability is not just to demonstrate interoperability, but it is to demonstrate that I am a person who is basically encountering a counterparty with whom I need to conduct a business that requires me to provide multiple attestations/credentials to them that may be coming from a variety of different things. A classic case here, for the education credential is, directly tied into the work that we are doing, particularly with USCIS. I am a immigrant to the US who is applying for a job in the US that typically in the paper world requires them to provide a, permanent resident card or an employment authorization document. And education credentials. I guess my question to Sharon, in general is, when you talk about verification, what is the step next to that? When do you sort of get to a point where we are actually presenting multiple credentials in a presentation and verifying them rather than one and done? Because it feels like the one and done tends to be encouraging the siloing of what is going on right now.
I think you make an excellent point. And I see that Dimitri and Carrie have queued themselves, so I feel like they might have comments on this that are way more interesting than what I have to say.
Dimitri?
Sure. So also, I want to say thank you to Anil for mentioning the multiple credentials thing. That sort of changes what I was going to propose. So a couple of things. One is, Sharon, I absolutely agree that JFF is sort of not at a crossroads, but has to balance the low-level feature matrix kind of interoperability with the higher level. Our end goal is to encourage the growth of the ecosystem. How do we demonstrate it with the larger strategic partners? And that's a much harder question. I don't have any thoughts on that. But I do want to say a couple things about the feature matrix kind of comparison, like JFF 1 and 2 was. I want to say two main things. One is verification versus something else. And then the second thing is I want to talk about how we can make checking for verification interoperability interesting. With regards to verification versus something else, so my initial proposal was going to say that verification by itself is not that interesting. Like Sharon said, just displaying a green check mark is not that challenging. And in a sense, we've already tested for it unofficially in JFF Bloodfest 1. And so I was going to point out the other of the three pillars of the credential ecosystem, like issuing, wallet, and verifying. I was going to point out an unofficial one, which is being able to migrate wallets. One of the key things that I think a lot of us would agree that in our goal in preventing lock-in, one of the things that we need to make sure is that a user having loaded credentials into a wallet is able to migrate to another wallet from another vendor. And so one of the possibilities for like a smaller Plugfest would be, can I migrate this set of credentials from one wallet to another? Whether it's because the wallet implements a standard API that allows another wallet to query credentials from and or because wallet implements a standard backup, a standard wallet export container. And I want to give a shout out to Sam Curran and the IIW session on standardizing an encrypted wallet export container. So that's thing one. Consider one of the subtopics or one of the focuses of a smaller Plugfest would be wallet migration. So think two. If the next Plugfest should focus on verification, there's a couple of things we can do to make it interesting and challenging. One is, I 100% agree with what Anil said. Going through the full cycle of the verifier requesting multiple credentials and therefore I'm demonstrating the wallet enables the user to pick those credentials, submit, and then the verifier would have to verify both the verify the presentation and the individual credentials in that bundle. So that's thing number one, multiple credentials. Number two is I think we can demonstrate not just the green check mark, but the red error sign. Meaning, we also want to demonstrate that the verifier rejects invalid signatures, revoked credentials, revoked keys, possibly, and all sorts of other error conditions. So I think between those two, the requesting multiple credentials protocol, being able to modify bundles and individual, being able to verify bundles and individual credentials, and demonstrating the rejection of various error conditions. I think taken as a group, that could be a nice challenging plug fest. Thank you.
Thanks, Dimitri. Carrie?
Yeah, I think in this group, we think about verification as Dimitri just described it, which is, the actual standard verification, right? Do the required elements meet that? But I think over the years, what we've learned through, the Open Badges community education VCs is that, there is this underlying, semantic interoperability that's needed. So we may want to think beyond verification, but think about the needs of the relying third parties. There are a lot of vocabularies that are in place, that are linked data that can help with this. And I think we might want to get ahead of that as we start looking into PlugFest 3, what those will be. So for instance, in PlugFest 2, we required some elements for open badges in that PlugFest that aren't required as part of, open badges 3.0, because we wanted to make sure that understandability was there, namely like issuer name and issuer logo. But the payloads for education data, education credentials, are going to be pretty critical to adoption and to understanding. So that's something for us to think ahead to and consider, rich skill descriptors, credential engine, and then their standards, their reference competencies, and the transparency description language. So we can include that, we can do that semantic understandability, interoperability as well as part of this.
Simone?
So reflecting on the assumption that verification could be the possible phase 3 and what are the stakeholders that we're missing? So if we really want these credentials to take the streets, so in the education space, I mean, in the chiasm between education and work, I mean, you have two pathways, right, for these credentials to become opportunities. One is the employability pathways, and the other one is the enrollment pathways. So on the employability pathways, to test the verification, we would need an employer, right? On the enrollment pathways, maybe we could play with what Anil has already done, with the immigration services. I mean, international student mobility into the U.S. is a big thing. You're required to present your, prior learning credentials to the government to get, an I-20 or a visa. And I know that that is a use case that has already been worked on in the SVAP challenge, I think. So I wonder if we could reuse or leverage some of the pre-existing interop there along that enrollment pathways, where one of the consumer or the verifier would be, I guess, the government.
Thank you. Nate?
I think Phil is up next.
Nate, right?
Phil.
Oh, Phil? Oh.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dimitri. I missed him entirely.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. So I think my comments are aligned with, and to some extent, what both Dimitri and Simone have just mentioned. And that is that in fact, the verifiers, that perhaps matter the most are the employers for whom these credentials are intended to provide richer value-added information to the people who are possessing them for those individual relying parties to make judgments about the predictive validity of those individuals adding value to their companies or whatever positions these things are being used to apply for. And so the question that comes to mind to me is, I second Dimitri's comment that we need to get, the demonstration revoked credentials and the like, because that's adding another layer beyond just verification on the first instance that adds a little bit of nuance and greater comfort to the relying party that a credential received is valid, and if it is in fact revoked, there is meaningful information back to them about that revocation. But secondly, we haven't heard from or engaged particularly well with the consumers of this environment, and that would be the employers themselves or the ITS systems and the like that are currently the place where much of the value of presenting credentials of the existing forms end up being evaluated decisions made about the status of what happens to that person next. And so somehow or other, we have to bring in, if not for no other reason, to be the person that is the relying party group, those individuals that are hiring managers, that are part of SHRM and doing that for initial review, and or those that are part of the systems that are acting as current intermediaries in front of job applications and requests posted for employment. So I think that's a community that we haven't reached out to, and somehow or other we have to bring them in. Thanks.
Thanks, Phil. All right, Nate.
Right on. Thanks. Yeah, so excellent work with these plug fests. I think that the future is bright for them. I would not be surprised if the participation grows, even as the difficulty of completing the tasks in successive steps that we're incrementing on gets more difficult. Anil raises a great point on the cross-verification of multiple different credentials. And in this space, we're talking about LER, learner employment record type credentials. What we're looking to build is an ecosystem where learners, workers can show up to a new work opportunity and then be welcomed there, understood in terms of the skills and certifications that they hold. You know, a lot of this business logic is inside the verifier app and is subsequent to that, the basic green checkmark type verification. And it means interpreting a bunch of things from the credentials into that local context of the verifier. Phil mentioned the gold standard in this space for the USCIS credentials and for these LER credentials is that the holder gets a job because they had the right qualifications. And so the worst outcome is if the credential holder has this cool, shiny, verifiable credential that we tell them is so interoperable, and that employer can't even understand it, can't even get to the green check mark, and let alone can't even get beyond that. So OB and CLR are specs that mostly operate at the schema level in the VC tech stack. So they help issuers have a common way to describe a particular achievement or a skill within a certification. But the business value in the space of like what it takes to actually get to offering a job to the holder depends on the trust models that aren't very binary at all. You've got to trust a particular issuer to recognize a certain skill from its source domain, maybe understand how it crosswalks to a certain different skill definition in the verifier's target domain, some kind of scalar variable thing there. Figuring out how to model requirements that might match up against these skills or achievement credentials is actually a lot more tricky than just, say, asking for a particular credential type, like we've seen in a lot of the early examples elsewhere in this next stage. So in this context, what's the next most valuable step for the plugfest type context to resolve? And probably we recognize that there's a lot of work, a lot of territory to cover, and these plugfests work best when they operate in an incremental way. So I think there's a strong case that the next increment is that the presentation to the verifier happens and we just get to that green check mark, even if we know there's a whole lot of work after that. Sorry for taking so long.
Thanks, Nate. That was helpful. Manu.
Yeah, huge plus one to what Nate has been saying, as well as, Dimitri and Phil and, the rest of the folks that chimed in. I'm wondering if we should ask the people that are funding this work to give us a concrete value add so that they can justify why they're spending this money, right? So, I mean, in that, I think what that ends up looking like is, Walmart is funding this stuff largely. They are doing it, you know, for reasons to improve, you know, partially the way they operate. I mean, I know it's the Walmart Foundation and they have a bigger thing, but you know, we need to get the business value, like the actual value that's achieved. And, Phil was saying, you know, I think the people that are not here right now, unfortunately, are like the HR systems that would be pulling this stuff in. So I don't know if it's possible, but having an HR system be central to the next PlugFest or a future one would be great. Having employers that are willing to modify their operations as a result of this, if we can find a good target credential or set of credentials, would be beneficial. And as Nate said, you know, LERs are really complex things. I'm wondering what's the minimum viable set of credentials that provide business value to the point that someone would actually end up, meaning an employer or an HR company would end up making this a part of their process. So I know that's a really big, challenging thing to do, but I think to date, the PlugFests have really focused on technical interop and technical challenges, and we can continue to do that. And I don't doubt that we'll do well in doing that, right? We'll pick good bite-sized pieces that we can do, but none of this really matters unless we get the business challenge, you know, achieved, which is creating value for both the people that hold these credentials in the HR systems and the employers that consume the credentials. You know, I feel like the longer we stay away from having those participants as a central part of the PlugFest, the more of kind of a navel gazing exercise this is, right? I mean, so I know that's really hard to do. Like all of us are trying to do that, right? But I think we need to figure out if what we're doing here are like technical PlugFest challenges, or we're also trying to solve the business ecosystem challenge, which is really the thing that drives money and, you know, cash flow to make these ecosystems better. That's it.
That's a really good sort of final thought. This has been an incredible discussion. I'm feeling very, the reality of this for me today is that I'm sitting in the office of a professional licensure board, and I'm sitting today with the people whose job it is to verify multiple credentials in order to determine whether or not someone is qualified for a professional license. And I can tell you from looking at their faces and listening to this conversation that we're having, this is a real problem that we are trying to solve. This is cumbersome work that they have to do manually that we are offering them a better solution for. And I'm so excited to be a part of this community and what we're doing. So we are at time. And so I'm going to cut us off here, and I'll echo what Sharon said. We will continue to engage and talk about this. There's a lot more conversation to be had. I would invite you all to join the VCED calls on Monday. Alex, I'm sorry we didn't have a chance to talk about your proposed work item and some of the conversation that we had last week. I'd encourage you to drop a note on the list in the email, and we can maybe get a discussion started there. And otherwise, thank you all. I hope you all have a great week, and we will see you next week. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. I just need for once everybody drops off, then I can stop the recording.